is a Vencast Studio production.
We are back. Hey, it's good.
Welcome, welcome to episode 30 of Riding the Pine. I am Hondo here with Guy.
Yo, yo.
And we got K Dizzle back in the building for another episode.
What up?
Oh, man. 30 episodes in. 30 episodes in, Guy.
Congrats,
This is a big one. Yeah. This is a big one. So, it's been a lot of fun over the last season, starting from the dog days. But, man, it's the most wonderful time of the year right now. You know, people would typically call Christmas and, like, the holiday season. Forget that. It's in April. It's in April when we're getting into the NBA playoffs.
This episode is dedicated to the one and only Stephen Curry.
Yeah, we don't really want to mention anybody else. It's probably just not advantageous to even go.
It's probably just family members, really.
Steph Curry, Del Curry, Seth Curry, like, yeah. You know, whatever. We'll just, the Curry family, here you go. Served on a platter. Don't say we didn't ever do anything for you guys. All right. You know what we always do? So, you have 24 seconds to give your story of the week.
All right.
Starting now.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom. You know, there was a lot of great highlights this week. The Westbrook game winner, the Westbrook come from behind and put it in overtime. But easily, dude, the highlight of my week this week in the NBA was this insane whiff by DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan goes to the free throw line. You know, you're going to expect 1-for-2, maybe a 0-for-2, but you don't always expect this anomaly free throw where it's just like, it's so bad that the commentators are calling it cancerous. Like, commentators are saying it was a scare throw. But the funniest part was when you watch it back on slow-mo, watch it back on replay, and it's Devin Booker, the opposition, going,
oh, shit. Yeah. All right. I gave you a couple of shot clocks there just to, you know, whatever.
I had to work through that.
All right, K-Dizzle, you have 24 seconds starting now.
I'm going to go with David Nwaba, newly signed guy from the NBDL.
Nice.
Cal Poly product, I think. He went off for 19 points last night, career high.
Who was against?
I have no idea. Oh.
All right.
You're putting me to sleep.
All right. Sorry. Hey, you got it. So, all right, I'm going to go with, I like the fact that Houston breaks the three-point record and there are still weeks to go in the NBA season. 1,078 three-pointers made this season against the previous record, which is set the previous season, for Golden State. Absolutely unbelievable. I also love the fact that Portland is on a heater, making a run here. So much more to come in the episode. So, that is it.
you shot clock your own story.
Just because I slammed it home. I slammed it home real quickly here. All right, let's get into a couple of games. So, you know what? We're going to go right into it. We have to go right into it. There's no other option. So, we are going to go right into gameplay. So we are going to go... Gameplay this week is basically our RTP game of the week is a little bit of an anomaly versus the season, but it's Houston versus Golden State, but there were two games, so we highlighted both of them. So let's start out with the game from 3/28. This is Warriors over Houston, 113-106. Man, Warriors are just kind of dominating this series right now, and they are hot. They've won 11. Yeah. Just 11 straight, and they've completely crushed Houston when they're trying to make a run at it. So I think Houston's like on a three-game losing streak. But when you play the Warriors twice. Not great. So yeah. So basically, let's just dive into this game. So over 50% from the field for Golden State. They are on fire, and they have all components rolling. So it's like the bench is going. The other players are going. They don't have the dominance of like a single player. You know, they have their top players, obviously. And with the bench supporting them like this, they're going to be deadly in the playoffs right now.
I agree. I think there's a rise with the Golden State Warriors. They're back. You know, Draymond Green's playing probably the best of his career, if not the season for sure. And it's kind of funny, you said the word fire, and it's peaked like a phrase, you know, like a pretty common idiom, like fight fire with fire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Houston's trying their best, and honestly, they kept it close, and that's the closest they could ever be by playing that style, you know? But then you're playing with Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and others versus Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and others, you know, like... Who's going to score more from three? It's obviously going to be Golden State.
Yeah, so. Let's talk about a stat from this game. Houston was abysmal from three. They shot 16%.
Yeah.
16% from three. Absolutely terrible. That's... Harden was like 1 for 9 from three.
Right.
However, on the positive side for Houston, Capella was just shooting lights out for them. Like 9 for 10.
Right.
And just,
he's not shooting anything.
Well, not shooting, but like,
laying him up.
But still 9 for 10 is outrageous in terms of field goal percentage. Can we let's talk about one thing that I kind of ran into looking at the stat sheet for this game. What I don't understand the Rockets bench strategy, and especially what the Rockets will do as they get into the playoffs here.
Okay.
So, I mean, because they only had like three active players on the bench.
Sure.
So, I mean, what is the...
What's the strategy?
Like, I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot about the run and gun and everything like that, but is it... Why don't they have more active players on the bench?
So, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that, they probably were either... resting, soft resting, or just injured.
Okay.
But I do know that they have a kind of a weakness at the five spot if Nene and Montrezl Harrell are in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Which is quite common.
Yep.
And I think they have Clint Capella, too, just chilling out there. But
okay.
So with the three of them, they're fine. But it looks like they've only played three players on the bench, and that's usually Sam Decker, Lou Williams, and Eric Gordon.
Okay. So let's talk about the other game. This was Warriors versus Houston. On 331, 107-98, Warriors winning. There are a crazy, stupid amount of field goals in this game. There are almost 200 field goal attempts. Like, what is going on?
Was 187 to be exact. Isn't that like the police code for homicide?
Yeah, it's homicide. Murder, like, you guys just murdering, like, the number of shots you're throwing up.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
It's today's NBA.
It's funny, though. Like, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, even Lou Williams... Lou Williams probably is the only one that can. He's the only one that can create a shot for himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of those people. Otherwise, they're just shooting from three. Otherwise, you know, they're not doing a whole lot of other things. But like Klay Thompson, Iguodala, Livingston, Clark even, and Steph Curry, they can all make a two-point shot. They can all have a mid-range game. So they're always going to have a jump-shooting team. But if you're reliant on the three and you're 16% from one game and you're 30% from another game, you know, that's not great success.
DMP cramps. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, DMP
cramps.
Cramps.
I've never seen
that. Patrick Vicka. Well, that's part of it. I guess they have to get really descriptive these days.
Really descriptive. Yeah, Kevin Looney with the left hip injury, because the right hip injury, that would be a different story.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know. I mean, there's not really a whole lot to highlight. It's just... Those two were combined for RTP Game of the Week. Obviously, Golden State ran them to the ground, and we'll basically kind of see what happens. However, playoff people bring out different levels of game in the playoffs. So I don't know if this is like it's telling what Golden State will bring,
right.
But I'm not ruling Houston out for doing something crazy.
Yeah.
So
Coach of the Year candidate. For sure is D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he has a lot of things up his sleeve right now for combating Golden State because he's running a very similar offense.
Yeah,
I would say that it's a good offense for the regular season, but it's super predictable for Houston. So you better change it up for the postseason.
Yeah,
and I would also say that they've been practicing that kind of shit and they're just not exposing. They're not revealing any of their strategies.
Okay,
and I can't wait for that second round playoff series if that happens with Houston and Golden State. It's going to be a good series.
Yeah, it'll just depend on three-point shooting from either team if that ever happens.
I mean, I hope there's another factor other than three-point shooting. Like, I hope someone can do something other than that.
A three-point shot.
Yeah.
But that's what it'll probably get down to. All right, let's talk about a few other games as we move along here. So San Antonio versus OKC from 331. San Antonio ended up pulling this one out 100-95. Basically, this game is interesting because OKC is leading the charge. They're basically up by 17 for part of this game, and then it's San Antonio's game. They just keep chipping away.
Yep.
They keep chipping away, and they do things with consistency. And just if you have Kawhi leading that charge, he is a dangerous person to just to let take over the game, because he's got the X factor to bring it back to him to take it over fully.
He's like the John. The Ringer posted an article comparing Kawhi Leonard to John Wick, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite articles, and it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
He has an arsenal. He just like unloads his jacket and has all these guns to him.
Yeah,
like he can do the shot put. He can do a sky hook. He can do regular 2-pointer, long 2-point. He's deadly from three. He dunks it with Larry Nance Jr. ferocity.
Yeah, he's got the old man game. He's got the young man game. Like
he's very like in the pace that he plays with. He's never not in control. That's what's really cool about him.
Yeah,
but he's kind of like he's not boring. But his team is kind of boring, so he's never in the conversation.
His team is boring, but they're consistently good. It's one of the problems that we've had with RTP this season is just talking about the Spurs, because they don't bring that flash, that fire, that drama. Yeah. They bring consistently good play,
just like can't sleep on
fundamental play, and that's what they have, and that's why they're going to be deadly. But when we get into the playoffs, it'll get interesting.
It'll get interesting, yeah, because the reliance on Patty Mills is great, but in the postseason, I don't know, right? Like, it's going to kind of be exposed a little bit sometimes. Right. And Dwayne Dedmon and, like, Manu Ginobili, 40-year-old Manu Ginobili, like, he's not going to have that amount of effort that he can give in the 7-game series because he's playing on back-to-back kind of games. Like,
is this the last season, you guys think, or is he?
I think so. I definitely think so. And I think, Tony Parker is a huge X factor for them.
Yep.
I hope they have a one last run in it for the Spurs, but
But they're capable of building it up. I mean,
but David Lee's been a patient beast, and Pau Gasol is like a defensive machine, and so I'm excited for them. But it's just like, do I tune into their games? The answer is no.
Yeah. All right. Let me just talk about two stat lines from this game. Just comparing the beasts against one another. Westbrook goes 32, 15, and 12 in this game. Leonard goes 28-8-2. Leonard just doesn't have that assist game which Westbrook has, but he still has it. All right, let's talk about another couple of games. Blazers over the Rockets. This was I believe this was our NBA Thursday game, right?
It wasn't, but it was the game after.
It was the game after.
The first game was the Bulls and the Cavaliers, where the Bulls won over the Cavs.
So the Blazers end up pulling this one out 117-107. A special highlight in this game, Houston sets the NBA record for threes.
Like partway through the third quarter. So obviously
they didn't actually hit that many threes in this game, but they did set the record, and it's 1,078, as I alluded to earlier in this episode. But I mean, that is like, it's showcasing what the new NBA is. Like how many three-pointers these teams are taking.
Yeah.
There's weeks left of the season. But this is a huge win for Portland, and I think they've won like six straight or something.
Yeah.
And really just getting into this. However, there is an X factor that really kind of screws them up. I think statistically they'll be fine, but Nurkic getting injured in this game is not a good thing.
I think he got injured like with 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and they didn't really know what was happening, so they continued to play.
He got like a dunk after, right?
Yeah, I think a couple plays after that too. Well, he's out for 2 weeks, which is the remainder of the season, and we just hope and pray for Aaron and Portland fans everywhere, like that they get in there. But Denver has a pretty incredible schedule coming up. Portland probably is going to have to go like at least 3-3, or if not 4-2, to keep the pace. But they're two games ahead of Denver.
Yeah.
So Denver has to kind of win out.
Yeah.
And that's...
But they're playing. So I'm looking at the schedule here upcoming for Portland. Looks like they have the T-Wolves. They'll have a tough one against the Jazz. Spurs is not going to be an easy one for them. They should be able to pull it off versus the Pelicans. So it will be interesting to see.
They have the T-Wolves twice.
Oh, they have the T-Wolves twice.
The third and the sixth, and the Jazz, Spurs, Pelicans. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Okay.
And Denver has, Houston, and I think they have a couple other teams, too, that are
not
favorable matchups for them. But, Denver has a full roster, so, like, you can't count them out. And, I would rather see Denver in the playoffs, but for Portland... Then this Nurkic story is amazing, and you kind of got to root for him,
Absolutely.
Is this the last week before the playoffs start?
It's officially a week and a half, so it's like before the playoffs start, it's mid-April.
Yeah.
So we're like the first week of April, so.
Cool. Yeah. All right, so our last game, kind of moving on, is the Spurs absolutely destroying Cleveland. And this isn't much of a game, but I wanted to highlight how lopsided this was because I wouldn't have predicted this going in. This is from 327, 103-74. LeBron gets kind of hurt in this game. There are only two Cavs players in double digits. LeBron is leading the charge with like 17. I'm just like, what the hell was going on in this game? And there was nothing. I'll tell you what didn't happen. The Cavs did not make any threes in this game. They were like 4 for 26. Just stop. Just go in the paint, for God's sakes. At least you have a chance.
Yeah, I think this is really it's more telling than it's not.
It's like a clown car for this episode.
They better get it together for the playoffs, or they're going to be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think this is telling for the playoffs, but this is like when they go cold, they go cold. You have Tristan Thompson. You have players capable of going real cold. Mm-hmm. So,
well, who is Tristan Thompson dating currently?
Is it a Kardashian? If it's a Kardashian, I don't know. I mean,
it's the curse of the Kardashians. but real talk though, Love is hurt. Thompson's not. He's kind of just like there. He's not really. Yeah. Producing, and I really think that they're coasting as of like a month ago.
Yeah, right?
They're not ready for the season to be over, but yeah. Because they're showing it, but they want the season to be
but
over.
But they're going to run up to against some considerable heat in the East right now.
Yeah.
Boston is playing, Washington is playing, Toronto
the East is as good as it's ever been.
Yes.
In a long time.
In and a long time,
they can't coast. They can't be fucking road tripping while they. You know, they have a podcast called Road Tripping. They can't be road tripping while they're in the postseason, you know?
Don't.
Do you remember last season? Like, they were like, they had their Snapchat game. Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye and all these other monkeys were on the Snapchat. Like, they were just like, laissez-faire. They were like making it really easy, you know? Because they were coasting, they're 4-0-ing everyone.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it in the playoffs, but we'll get into that in a special playoff prediction episode. All right, we're going to move on to some highs and lows for this week. All right, starting off, some major, major highs. Terrence Ross throws down just a stupid 360 dunk last week. This thing is a contender for, like, play of the year.
For sure.
Unbelievable.
Like,
it got me so hyped.
You have to just be brazen to go and attempt a 360 dunk in a game.
Yeah.
This isn't an exhibition game like we've seen from LaVine. This is like, no, this is a live game. I'm just going to do a breakaway and just go for a 360 dunk. Man, Terrence Ross, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Some other favorable moments from this last week. Portland. We had talked a little bit about it. Portland
9-1 in their last 10, man.
Six consecutive wins, 9-1. Golden State 10-0 in their last 10. Absolutely incredible. Chicago is making a run. Like, I can't shout out to Danny from NBA Thursday. I can't bet against Chicago on any NBA Thursday games because they completely win every every time, and it's just like I do not want to bet for them, but they just do it.
Well, setting the stage is TNT games with the Bulls at home. Right? They're unstoppable.
They're unstoppable. It's like the Portland openers. Never bet against the against right, Portland right, on the opener.
Right. The parameters are set.
Okay, some other awesome stats here. Westbrook now has 41 triple doubles this season.
You know what's funny? Like, just thinking about that in terms of double doubles. I think he's probably in the category of like top five for double doubles this season.
Yeah.
With triple doubles.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's like Cat, I know it's Drummond, I know it's like two others, and it's probably Westbrook.
I gotta say something funny here. There's like the I have a tough time like even comprehending getting like 41 like double cheeseburgers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Or triple cheeseburgers, but like
triple stacks.
Yeah, triple stacks. Like he is doing that with points
every day.
Like every every single
crap.
Day.
I probably have had like 41 triple stacks in the course of my career as an adult fat adult piece of lard. But he's putting me to shame, man. I got to up my triple stack game.
All right, Hey, Gee, break down what Harden has done this season.
This is the season of storylines, really. Like Harden, Westbrook, everyone, right? Harden is the first player to ever score 2,000 points and 2,000 assists in the same season. That is kind of crazy to me because 2,000 points means you average 25 a game minimum, right? And assists over 82 means you have to average a double-double. Like, it's insane. And that's what he's doing. Mm. Kerr is the fastest coach to reach 200 wins. Obviously, when you have a team that's in a category, that's the first team since Jordan's Bulls to win 60 straight games in three consecutive seasons, you're going to have about 180 games, right? So, pretty crazy.
Yes.
But these are fun little...
Some of those are Luke Walton's, I think, though, right?
Yeah, a little asterisk to his name. Like the Cork Bats.
the Luke Walton asterisk.
the Deflate Gate. Super Bowl champ.
I love that. That's funny. All right, so, okay, let's talk about some other notable stats for this last week. So from a points perspective, Westbrook absolutely killing it. 165 points over four games. Like, man, 40 point, averaging 40-plus points a game. That is stupid. Just stupid. CP3, who's managed to be completely off our radar for the last little bit, he's running the dime department quietly. Those guys are playing some serious minutes out in out in LAC. Like, they are just like, work for it.
Yeah.
You work for it. Right. Like, as much as you can do, and they don't stand a chance. all right, so Dame, a couple other notable stats here. Dame had 47 three-point attempts this last week,
whoa,
which is pretty high. Boy, this I haven't even seen anything like this season. Westbrook takes 116 field goal attempts, which is 35 above John Wall, who also had 91 attempts. Unbelievable. Trevor Ariza also has 17 steals in the last four games, which is
dynamite.
Pretty notable stat.
Yeah. Wait, Damian Lillard with 47 three-point attempts this week. That's like three or four games.
Yeah.
That's crazy amount of attempts.
I think it's five games for Portland. But still, that's a lot.
So about 10 a game.
Yeah.
And they're 6-0.
Yeah.
That's an interesting phenomenon because that's a winning formula for them. Like, that's more to come probably.
Yeah. I don't know how to read it fully, but
He runs typically aggressively in the first halves, and then he runs out of steam and he takes shots when he's out of gas.
Okay,
if he's like consistently shooting 10 a game,
it's
a winning formula.
There it is. We figured it out.
He's a Steph and Westbrook hybrid. I think he's super athletic. That's why I really like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player.
Definitely has it. All right, so let's go. Let's go a little bit into some terrible moments of this last week. Phoenix is absolutely garbage right now. Absolutely garbage. I think the best Phoenix moment is actually Booker just looking at
DeAndre Jordan's free throw.
Looking at DeAndre Jordan's free throw because they have no skills over the last little bit here. Phoenix is now 0-10 in their last 10, and they've actually lost 11 straight. So
yeah, they're in an interesting spot. They're obviously awful, which is their interesting spot. But like with the draft, it's crazy because should they draft a Fultz or a Ball if they get the top pick?
Yeah.
Should they draft a Josh Jackson or a Jonathan Isaac when they have Bender and Chris and so it's a little crazy for me to see what they're gonna draft, but they need players right now. They need players that can fucking ball.
Yeah. So the Rockets, other terrible moments here. The Rockets are really sliding this last week. I mean, they've played some tough games, but this is not the time for them to slide. They need to be kind of going back and forth. They've lost three straight. Yeah. Not reading too much into too much into that one. However, ATL is playing miserable ball right now. Mm-hmm. And they've already locked a spot. No, they haven't locked a spot. No. But they are they are 2-8 in their last 10. You got to play better than that to keep up in the East. They're gonna have some fierce competition first round.
So players missing or MIA on milk cartons right now is Paul Millsap and Cam Bazemore.
Yeah,
they're injured.
Yeah,
they're not found, and so they're relying on Tim Hardaway Jr., who is exactly who he is. Is Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
He's not a star yet.
Not a star,
and neither was Cam Bazemore.
He's capable. He's capable of a decent performance, but he can't do it alone.
Right. And he has all the potential in the world. And then Dennis Schroeder, who's actually not good right now, mm-hmm. he's shooting like Rondo and shooting like Rondo.
I saw some stat, like, since the All-Star game, Rondo's been shooting like 40% from three since the All-Star game or something like that.
Well, good for him. I think Rondo's career is awful in terms of shooting. So that was, I guess that was kind of my point. Like, there's never been a rap verse in the history of rap
with,
game.
With Rondo 3.
Shoot it like Rondo. Shoot like Rondo. That's not in your vocabulary.
I want to auto-tune that. Yeah. Like, please auto-tune that.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming for the playoffs. Okay. But then Dwight Howard is their offensive threat, and if he's only dunking, he's great. But he's doing everything other than dunking, and so...
Don't, yeah. Dwight.
Fuck that guy.
Without Millsap, they don't have a team. So, you know, my prediction
that
last
got,
week...
That got very aggressive. That got very aggressive. He's like, fuck Dwight Howard. Oh, like, wow. Whoa.
Anytime anything from the Lakers pops up, I gotta say something. Luke Walton.
Sorry.
It's all good. No, it's all just very aggressive. Very aggressive.
Shout
Dwight.
Out to my team that I watch.
Hey, Dwight, if you want to come on the podcast, yeah. You're still welcome. K-Dizzle will just be quietly sitting in the back for that.
Bring some candy.
So just a quick PSA here. The O-Man's Lounge is coming back in a few weeks to do a full recap of what happened over the season.
Oh, yeah.
So the O-Man's Lounge was loaded this season, but we're taking a few weeks off as we do some renovations to the O-Man's Lounge. All right, we got to get into it. One of my favorite segments on our show is Who Wore It Better? So... We have four different sequence of plays and different types of plays this week. So we're going to go around the horn on who wore it better. So there is a nasty Aaron Gordon alley-oop from Elfrid Payton this last week. Or Darren Collison to WCS. Boy, they both throw down some crazy oops. Who wore it better?
Who's WCS?
Willie Cauley-Stein. And I always always screw that up. It does. Like, I know it. I completely know it. Man, I got zero pronunciation NBA game still. Like, every episode into this thing.
All right, so who's your vote?
I go with the Aaron Gordon dunk. It was super athletic. And to see that in an NBA game.
Yeah. Though I loved, the tenacious effort from Willie Cauley-Stein. Gotta go with my boy AG double zero.
Double zero is. We're going 3 for 3 on this right. one. We're going 3 for 3. Aaron Gordon gets it. I think Elfrid Payton's hair as a partial assist for this play. He moves it up another level.
All right, so but Elfrid Payton wasn't in this next clip. Who wore it better? Aaron Gordon on top of Marcus Smart or Davis over Sacramento?
Oh.
On March 31st.
All right, Kid is what you start off.
I'm going to go with Davis on this one.
Nice.
I don't know. His game is like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. His game is fuck, I don't know. That's a great description.
I got nothing. Davis.
I'm going to go with Aaron Gordon on over Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart wore that so well, he just fell to the floor. So you got to break the tie.
I got to go with the Marcus Smart with Marcus Smart wore Aaron Gordon on this one. I think we're going 2-1 on this one.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so the next one. I actually don't know this play. Set up the play for me.
Oh, Steph Curry was falling on the ground.
But that's like every play that he does. So
well, I guess he was facing the end of the court, and he flicked it back.
It went
straight to Draymond Green's hands, and he's like...
Okay, I did see that. Yeah. All right, or Rubio to Caspi this last week, kind of like over his shoulder back to him.
Right.
So who wore it better?
Oh, I'm unfortunately sorry, Ricky. Kiss to the sky, but I'm going with my not my boy Steph Curry.
Wow, I'm gonna go with Ruby on this one.
Wow,
he's a great passer. I'll watch his highlights anytime. So.
Yep, I'm gonna go with K Dizzle on this one. Ricky has the nom from me. So
nice,
2-1 on that one. All right, so the last one we're setting up here is a Ken Bazemore buzzer beater on 4-1, or Westbrook on 3-29 to send that OKC game into OT. But it's against Orlando if that plays into your vote at all.
I'm gonna go with the Westbrook buzzer beater to send it to overtime.
Yep, me too. Westbrook to overtime.
No, I'm going with Bazemore. Westbrook has that in him. That's automatic for him. Bazemore has to try just a little bit harder.
Gotcha.
All right, so that...
Aaron Gordon.
Just Aaron Gordon everywhere. All right, we're gonna go to the most wonderful time of the year from Ride the Pine, and we are back with the three-man weave.
Hey, what's good, fellas?
What an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
I'm doing how Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second, will crying LeBron replace crying Jordan in the memosphere this season?
Hi, Gee, set it up for us this week.
All right, man, we got to start with a little lighter topic. I don't know if you got much time to look into this at all, think about anything retarded as this topic is. You are now owner. You are now an owner. Just flat out, here's the keys.
Yes.
To a sports-themed bar. A bar and grill. Bar and grill and chill. Bar and grill and, you know, no Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck it, let's call it the RTP. You know, bar and grill and chill, D-Will. You know, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
What's on the menu?
What's on the menu?
I think I have my first pick for what's on the menu. It's some fried chopped liver from Andre Roberson.
From? Yeah. From the barrels? I had this killer cider the other day that was like rye whiskey infused from the barrels or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like so good, and I'm sure this would be so fantastic. From infused Andre Roberson.
Be a good pairing.
I'm going to go with the DeAndre Jordan lob kebab. It's like all these tender pieces of meat, you know, cooked right, and then they're just probably this, the lob, the jam, to mouth. You get the commentator, you know?
All right, K-Dizzle, where are you going?
Where am I going? Give me Kobe beef. I don't know, like steak or something.
Oh, yeah. Sure. There we go.
Fine dining.
I like that. I also think that, you know, we have a Dwight Howard candy bar for... Yeah. For part
for
of this. Like, yeah, definitely for dessert. So
would it be his face? Would it be his face, like, in a Superman outfit? Would his face as a Laker on the bench?
It's just a Superman bar. Yeah, it's like a Superman bar, but it's a mix of, like, 10 different candies.
Sure.
He's the first person. So everybody has to pick a unique shoe sponsor, but yeah. Dwight Howard just says, to the candy gods, I'm picking all of you. Yeah. One bar, one time. Here we go.
And whenever you eat it, you never reach your potential.
You can't shoot from outside of 10 feet.
Never learn a post game in your whole career.
You know, we got the fried green tomatoes. How about the fried green tarantulas?
Oh.
Just like tarantulas, you know? They're edible. Deep South cut. You know, he's from Texas, which has no connection to tarantulas.
Isn't he from Maryland?
He's actually from Maryland. But
I feel like we're missing something here if we're not talking about something from Steph Curry's wife.
Right, sure.
So what is she whipping up for us for this the grill and chill menu?
The whip. I mean, I don't know. Curry's,
chicken curry. Curry stew.
Dude, we are so creative.
I think it was just the fried green tarantulas. I'm still trying to picture what that is.
Deep fried spiders.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly
all right, I want to go to a separate question now. I want to go to this question, and I want to say, as the MVP race is heating up and finalizing, I want to go around the horn here and say and ask you if you could only take the opinion of one former NBA legend. Whose consideration are you taking into account to make the pick this year? So forget stats, forget all of it.
Yeah.
You get to go on the word of one former legend. Who's it going to be and why?
Michael Jordan and his vote and his vote?
Yeah.
It's probably Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
I'd probably go with Jerry West. You'd probably go with Kawhi.
All right.
Okay.
I think.
Let me see. I think.
Not Jordan Clarkson.
I think I'm going to go with Bill Walton. And I'm going to go with
Hold on. Bill Walton?
I love Bill Walton.
Are you meaning Bill Russell?
Bill Russell.
Because Bill Walton is like some psychedelic trip.
No. Bill Russell. That's right. Like, cut that. Cut all of that. Bill Walton. This is my front backcourt problem that I had earlier this season. I'm going with Bill Russell, and I think Bill Russell is going to go Russell Westbrook.
Oh.
I mean, it's a Russell-Russell connection.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. They shared some time on a commercial together. That was a good commercial. Probably the best of the season. Speaking of best of the season's almost over, as you've asked. You have like 10, 12 days left. 7 games probably max for every team. What's your favorite thing that happened this season? Not just of the last week. What's your favorite thing that happened this season? And, yeah, you got to recall it back. You can go back to, like, the Steph Curry like flops from the half court, and you know, for charity, or you could go all the way back to like a 70-point Devin Booker game, or like the triple double from Harden, like the 40-11-11, or you can go with like a Cat 47-point game. You can go with like, you know, what was a great story? Like the great story maybe for the Lakers was like their first 10 games they were like 6-4 or 7-3.
And then it just all went downhill.
Well, I mean, so...
Okay, but...
What's your favorite story that happened throughout the entire year?
That Devin Booker game was pretty fucking significant. Like,
the 70-point game?
With his young age, like, seeing that from someone, like... And, I don't know, it was just unexpected to me. Like, when I saw that stat line, I was like, oh, I gotta see this. Like, see, you know, him... And he just blew up in the fourth quarter in that game and stuff.
Yeah, good point. Like, it's crazy because the game is shifting. The people, the legends are now, or the stars are now legends, you know. We're seeing the Tim Duncans retire, the Kobe's retire. Who's next? Who's on the come up? Mm-hmm. And Devin Booker's like, I'm it, you know. Like, whoever scores 70 points in a game, it's like me and 3 other people, right? So,
I mean,
good point, good story.
It's kind of a broken record here, but just what Russell Westbrook has done this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I predicted like he would go off this season, and he would have that fury in him just to put this up. But he's doing it consistently over the season, and it's not unexpected at this point, but just the consistency and him also staying healthy and being able to contribute and make and essentially single-handedly bringing OKC to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely incredibly interesting to me.
I would have said that as my 1A, you know, or my 1B. My 1A story is very biasedly towards the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
This has been kind of an interesting season where it started off pretty miserable, and we were, you know, throwing questions on defensive strategies, offensive strategies, but Rubio.
Yeah.
Ricky Rubio has turned it on.
Yeah.
Just like Jason Kidd. Almost identically to Jason Kidd and how he started his career and how he projected himself to the future to basically procure what he was as a legend of the NBA.
Yeah.
Now coach, I guess. Ricky Rubio is now a threat on the offensive end.
Which is amazing.
He's averaging like 15 and 11 the past few games, the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And if this is sustainable or not, I have no idea. But he's like shutting everyone up.
Yeah.
And whatever happened this season is for naught if we didn't make the playoffs. But we had palpable change, you know, from Rubio not being a scorer to being a scorer, from Wiggins to being a consistent 20-point shooter. Towns is an afterthought, but he's going 30 and 15 every game.
Mm-hmm.
But Rubio, man, like what he's been doing has been my favorite thing this season.
Yeah.
Very biased because I'm a big fan. But it just shut all media up about Rubio's game.
Sure.
If he can do this, if he can project this, we are playoff bound, motherfucker.
Absolutely. So I have a couple of other stories just to play off of this. And just because there were a lot of great things this season. I do want to say that the impact that Joel Embiid had in the very beginning of this season, even though what happens later on is damaging and changes the course of the season. What the impact that he had and the connection that he had with the fans is incredible to see.
Right.
I think it's setting up a great story of what he can do if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And then the other two things are there was a pretty significant run for Milwaukee kind of mid-season,
right.
And it was showing the potential of that youth movement kind of coming up there. Mm-hmm. And Greek Freak getting selected to the All-Star game was a huge moment. was absolutely a huge moment for him, and it just solidifies his abilities and the come up of the youth movement.
Fuck it, man. I take my story back. Those three stories you just mentioned were the stories of the season for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Westbrook, triple-double machine.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid. It's hard to go against...
any of those.
It's hard to go against those, but all of those together, I mean, make this a very, very incredible NBA season. Right. I'm so happy that we had a chance to even review this season the way we did, just because of how much awesomeness is packed into one season.
The future, I think, the future of the NBA is just really exciting. All the young kids and stuff are doing good things and everything. So
yeah,
and it's just bright, and it's just the diverse. You start to see the diversity. You start to see some shake up in teams and structures, and strategy, obviously just the emergence of teams who haven't been relevant for a long time, and they're starting to come into the fold. I think the next couple of years we're gonna see some awesome stuff, and it's gonna shake what's happened in the NBA for a really long time.
Yeah, and what's really funny is this is kind of an aside, but we were talking about Harden and Westbrook a lot.
Yeah,
Harden was an MVP caliber player last season. Probably should have been the MVP, but unanimously went to Curry.
Yeah,
this season
Curry's not even in the conversation.
Curry's not in the conversation. Harden is the front runner probably, and Westbrook is now breaking barriers to be in the conversation, if not the forerunner as a four seed.
Yeah,
and there's Kawhi and everything, but if Harden doesn't win MVP again,
I don't know.
What does he have to do?
What does he have to do? I honestly think
it has to be Harden, right? But
I think it has to be Westbrook.
What's crazy to me. Right?
I think it has to be Westbrook, but Harden is in the conversation. This is the first season when I've actively been kind of thinking about the MVP picture that either of them get selected, and they both have merits for being selected. So
Has there ever been co-MVPs?
Yes. What?
There's never been a co-MVP for a season, but there's been co-MVPs for an All-Star game.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Okay.
And that was Shaq and someone else. And Steve Nash.
All right. So we took it to the highest highs. Yeah. Let's go back down to close out this three-man weave with the lowest lows of the season. So I want to go into the best things that happened, but let's talk about some of the worst. I think if you're going to talk about some of the worst, you have to start out with what the hell happened in Brooklyn. What happened? I think they've won 21 games or something like this. They completely destroyed that franchise over the last season, and it's going to take a long time to get it back.
I think the worst story of the season, there's so many.
No, just throw them out. Just throw a few of them out.
My three in consideration now are obviously Vivek Ranadive and Vlade Divac and their relationship with DeMarcus Cousins, and then they told him,
oh yes,
they're not trading him, and then they traded him.
Oh, okay.
So that whole bullshit that went down.
Yep.
I would obviously say the New York Knicks when they got their Chicago Bull team revamp.
Yeah.
2.0 with Noah and Rose, which are basically both shells of themselves, and then they said, hey, we're a super team, and look, we're not even in the playoffs. And then, obviously, the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. What do they do with the roster this entire season? They've been a fucking joke, and they're still in the eighth seed consideration. But, they're going nowhere. They traded all their crap for more crap. Actually, less crap. Bulls, Knicks, DeMarcus Cousins. Those are probably my worst three storylines of the season.
I think beyond Brooklyn, I'm adding Phoenix. I don't know. I'm going to toss it to the Lakers fan to talk a little bit about
fucking Timofey Mozgov. Fuck that guy. We're a waste of money.
Getting a little
ship his ass out.
I wouldn't say fuck him. I would say fuck your team if they paid him the money for it.
But
you're stuck with him. I think
there are definitely some low lows. But
so Timofey Mozgov was the lowest point of the season for you.
I was for what we paid him. I expected more. I don't know.
Were you thinking playoffs this season?
After the first week, I was. Yeah.
Wow.
It was exciting. I was like,
and then you win 21 games.
Yeah. We're not even near 500 yet.
About, yeah.
Well, expectations for next season then? Like, be realistic. Just kind of make me understand you a little more as a fan of the Lakers specifically.
I'd be happy with like a 40 win season.
Yeah.
I think that's possible. And hopefully that means playoffs.
Sure, okay.
It just depends on the draft and free agency. Okay. And
stuff. All right, more predictions for all the teams in the dog days. Yeah, so, yeah. All right, we're going to go on. We're going to move on here to...
some rambling.
A little bit of rambling. So, the Ramblin' Gambler.
The Ramblin' Gambler.
Whoa! Oh, man. Ramblin' Gambler here. Ramblin' Gambler. I am Honda here, Ramblin' Gambler, and I am back with a couple of bets. So I want Vegas to look at the lens a little bit differently for the next couple of weeks. I want to bet on no impact games, so games which have no playoff contention. I just want to throw people like Phoenix and Sacramento and the Lakers. I just want to bet on those teams, and especially if they play each other, yeah, be able to amp my bet.
That's amazing.
With an amplifier. I also want to Well, I also want a 3x bet teams with playoff implications. So definitely teams like Portland or Denver, like amping my bet like tenfold, because especially if you put those teams together that have a lot on the line to close this out, that makes gambling a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Basically, if we're going into playoff implications, I want to put the over on Dame having a 50-plus point game. I think it's definitely possible. Definitely possible. However, this is a hard bet because you have McCollum, like, who could take some of his points away and really fuck me over in terms of betting on this one. I also, after tracking this for the first time, I want to see a 200 field goal attempt game.
We're only 13 attempts away.
It could definitely happen.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any more Houston Golden State, but it's Houston...
Houston Golden State in the playoffs could happen.
They're gonna
slow it down, but they're going to slow it down in quotation marks. It's like D'Antoni's going to come up with something that's like 4 seconds or less.
And then I'd also like to see how many steals that Arisa could rack in 1 week here, okay, before the next couple weeks before the season closes.
Right on.
All right, so that's the rest of the Ramblin' Gambler. Hey, no. Key, you gotta bust out the back fat for this week.
Hey, man, I'm working on my figure.
Of course.
But it's back, and it's fat. It's like that pork belly, you know? Louisiana spice rub. It's back, it's fat, it's a track of a stat, and it's live in Ballard. current NBA player, keep that in your mind, it's no Brandon Roy, all right?
Okay.
His birth name when he was born is not actually what we call him in the NBA, okay? Actually, that's pretty revealing stat already. He has a stat that I made up called the 2 point... He has a points per million of salary. Okay? He has an average as a 2.1 points per game per million dollars of salary. Keep that in your head. So if he was a $10 million player, he'd, 22.2 players.
Okay. All right.
But he might be more. He might be less.
All right.
I got the slurry, no mercy, jersey number stat. It's a math. It's algebra. Geometry. If you add up all of KG's numbers in his career.
Yeah.
And you know what those are.
Yeah.
Can you do that right now at the top of your head?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, you know Tarik Black's number, right?
Yes.
Take KG's numbers and all of his career, divide it by Tarik Black.
Okay.
So you know it's something divided by 28, right? He's a featured member on episode 28.
Yeah, the Tarik Black episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you take that number,
okay,
hint, it equals 1, because KG is 21, 5, and 2. Okay. And then you take that number 1 times, so basically nothing, times Steph Curry plus Seth Curry divided by Jamal Murray minus Austin Rivers. All right? So that's his jersey number. And I think you know it. I think you know it already. All right? No guesses, though. No guesses.
Okay.
As a kid, this is a big hint. As a kid, He was featured in a Burger King commercial.
Oh.
Is that narrowed
down? Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Don't, if you have it, dude, don't guess right now.
I don't think I have it, but oh, okay.
Keep going.
I have pages of notes on this.
I'm still thinking. Keep going. It'll take me a while.
Good. He's actually been named as one of our, you know, episode epithets. Like this episode is dedicated to this player, right? You know, so we've been doing it for about 15 episodes or so. So you know he's at least wearing jersey number 15.
Okay.
Oh my God. He's first in this insane category in 5 consecutive seasons. Unbelievable. And I'm not going to tell you the category because it would give it away.
Okay.
He is the highest active field goal percentage player from this point on the court. Specific point on the court.
Oh, my goodness.
So from the top of the key, from the free throw line, from the, you know, from a dunk.
I think I might have it.
Oh, no. And who is it?
DeAndre Jordan?
It is not
DeAndre Jordan. Okay, all right.
And thank God that you went there, not in the direction that I think it is.
Okay.
Because I have so much more to
tell. All right.
He's first in this category. Speaking of DeAndre Jordan, he is first in this category with over double DeAndre Jordan's career percentage from this category.
J.J. Redick.
Okay. You're getting better at who a player could be. So DeAndre Jordan's career percentage of this stat,
yeah,
times that by at least 2, and it's this stat for this player.
Okay.
Okay, so you probably know what that is. He put his college on the map. Just for his time there, and then they kind of faded in.
Steph Curry.
All right. I knew I would give it away. I knew I would give it
that
away.
That is a tremendous back fat.
It took me a while.
I'm clapping it up. K-Dizzle, we're clap it up for that back fat. Absolutely incredible.
His favorite show is How to Get Away with Murder. His favorite movie is The Princess Diary. He was born in the same hospital as LeBron James. I mean, it's Steph Curry, but I'm just like, meh.
Man.
I was trying to fuck with you because I put Steph Curry in the jersey stat.
I don't want to do the math.
So if you take Steph Curry plus Steph Curry, it's 60. If you take Jamal Murray minus Austin Rivers, it's 2. So it's 60 minus divided by 2, it's 30. And we just had Steph Curry's dedication episode as this.
Oh, my God. You definitely threw it.
And he only has a $12 million salary, so it's like 25 points per game.
Man. Your math is getting very complex as the back fat's gone on.
It's actually extremely simple because I just don't want to do the math. But his birth name was Wardell. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And we call him Steph Curry.
Well, of course.
He's the highest active player from the three-point shot.
Ah.
He is the highest. He is first overall in this category of the free throw percentage.
He was in a McDonald's commercial.
Because Del Curry was in the... Yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
I thought that
was a little bit of a giveaway. And just the other thing that we'll probably edit all of this out, but he's first in the league in free throw percentage.
Yeah.
DeAndre Jordan is like 46%. This guy's 91%.
Of course.
I knew I should have put that last. Anything with college, you and fucking you.
I love March Madness every year. I'm
sorry. Yeah. All right. All right, we got to do it. We got to do it again. We're going back this week in basketball. Little bit of player activity. So here's my predictions for players of the week. Dame has absolutely killed it. So he's my pick for the West. John Wall has been just hot in the East. So any other predictions, East or West?
DeMar DeRozan or Isaiah Thomas. Would probably be in there.
Okay.
That's probably the only three people that I would consider. Okay. Out of West, I would say like Steph Curry probably could be in this conversation.
Okay. All right.
And maybe Kawhi Leonard too. So
Kawhi for sure.
Okay.
Well, so we have three.
We'll have to follow it up for next week. All right. A little bit of player info. We've talked a little bit about injuries. So we talked about Nurkic, but there's some other guys that are out. We had talked about Atlanta, but Deion Waiters is actually out right now.
Yeah.
And that is not a good thing for Miami.
He's actually been out for a considerable amount of time.
Okay.
Almost a month and a half now. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. We don't know the status of him. Actually.
Following Miami real closely right now.
Well, they became old news after they lost a game.
Yeah.
Right?
they started the season really bad and they kind of turned it around. But
Kind of turned around. They
pretty dramatic.
Dramatic turnaround.
Yeah.
all right. We haven't talked about this on the previous episode, so because Noah just got suspended, so 20-game suspension for PEDs. Basically, this cost him a lot of money. So I was looking at fines, $3.1 million because of having to sit out.
Give it to the RTP charity.
So, and there was a huge announcement right before we started recording today that D. Rose has a torn meniscus in his knee. So, I mean, he's basically like Monty Burns from from The Simpsons. Mr. Glass. He just has like every injury known to man.
Mr. Glass from Unbreakable for sure.
Gosh. So, yeah, so that kind of wraps up some of the injuries. Mm-hmm. There was a huge announcement that came out, I believe it was yesterday, so the 2017 Basketball Hall of Fame inductees will include Tracy McGrady, Bill Self, and Rebecca Lobo. So let's talk a little bit about this. So,
do we have to, though? Like,
well, I think Bill Self absolutely belongs in. I mean, he only lost 10 games total at Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely insane.
He deserves it, yeah.
He definitely deserves it. Rebecca Lobo has crazy stats. Oh. The 35-0 season for UConn, plus gold medal, plus like 6 seasons in the WNBA. Yeah. I mean,
look at you popping up stats.
She deserves to be there. This is where I'm going to go off. Does Tracy McGrady deserve to just be like first ballot into the NBA Hall of Fame?
I don't understand it.
I don't know about first ballot. But what he did in the limited time when he was healthy was amazing. It was
great.
But it was like 5 years only, right?
He had a really short career and pegged with injuries, and his seasons were not based on his record because of his production. It was because he was out and Rick Adelman was a good fucking coach. So those teams are good. He wasn't playing. Tracy McGrady was always like, if only he had stayed in fucking Toronto, honestly. Mm-hmm. If only he had stayed in Toronto with Vince Carter.
Mm-hmm.
But he went to Orlando and he went to Houston, all this other junk. No, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm really confused by this. I can't really like back it up with anything.
Yeah.
But just from my empirical like evidence,
yeah,
there's so many other players that
like
I can
he
think
hasn't.
Of.
He never won a championship. He has like 7 All-Star appearances, but does an All-Star appearance, does it bring you into the Hall? I mean, I think
it matters.
It factors.
Factors.
Yeah. It factors, but it's I don't know. And he has like what 20 plus points average for the time he was in the NBA. I don't know. It seemed like a very interesting selection. So
didn't he had like 13 points in 8 seconds or something like that at one point?
Did have that outrageous thing. But that's not something
that's like probably his highlight of his career. Yeah, yeah, I don't know if it's Hall of Fame.
But all right, we'll continue to debate Tracy McGrady in the dog days. Yeah. But one other fine stat, and as I've been looking at the fines, I think the NBA selects fines for technical fouls based upon a Plinko board, because it goes from $2,000 to $8,000, and you just basically put a coin up top and decide based upon the technical foul where it's gonna fall.
LeBron James has a new game show called The Wall, and it's just a giant Plinko board.
Yeah.
I bet you that's where they got the idea.
It's probably where they got the idea. Because I was looking at the stats, I'm like, well, why is this one $2,000 and that
amazing.
One $4,000? Yeah. Hey, Adam Silver, we figured it out.
Yeah. We're on to you.
You didn't think anybody would figure it out? RTP figured out how you
gotcha,
how you
bitch.
Do your fines.
Oh,
and
we'll collect our go money.
All right, this is potentially my favorite lighter news story of the entire season.
Yeah.
Hit up the audience with what happened here.
I'll hit you up. About 2 weeks ago, a fan went to a signing session. Clay Thompson had a signing session with a toaster. Clay Thompson looked at it funny, gave the cameras a funny look, signed it with a smile. Like this, that's odd. That's strange. Took an Instagram picture of it. Gave it to this fan back, you know. Since signing that toaster, they haven't lost a game. Just throwing that out there. They haven't lost a game. He's back. He's back. They just took a permanent marker, a gold permanent marker at that, on a fucking toaster. You know, it's so funny that went viral. People are like, fuck, sign my toaster. Another dude went to Toronto. It's spreading. like the plague. No, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. So a Jeremy lookalike clone, and not all Asians look alike, but this Asian clearly looks like Jeremy Lin, went to DeMar DeRozan during his signing session. Was like, here's a fucking toaster. Sign my toaster. Like, what the hell is that? I'm sorry, I'm taking too long on that.
But No. I think there's a movie. What is it? My Little Toaster. So
a Brave Little Toaster.
Brave Little Toaster. Yeah. We just need to see Clay in one of the Brave Little Toaster t-shirt.
Well, in other lighter news, Aaron Gordon jumped over Marcus Smart like he wasn't even there.
That's completely game related.
What's lighter?
Who wore it lighter? Lance Stevenson.
Lance
was
Vance.
Back, then was not, and then was back, and then was not, and then was on the Timberwolves, and he was back, and then he was not, and now he's back. But he's not in back fat.
No, he's not in back fat. He is back with Indy, declaring himself in his return back to Indy as the same as Jordan coming back to the NBA. Lance the Dance just go blow in somebody's ears, but get what the fuck? What is that? Just don't do that. So,
well, I love it. I love that he's home. They have to have that "I'm coming home"
he's good song for the NBA.
With Lance. He's great for the NBA, and I just hope that the Pacers get into the postseason and then they face off against the Cavs, and then he's seriously just on the bench blowing air. That'd be the greatest fucking thing. Like that's what and if he's out of breath because he's always injured and he has to recuperate, just bring a fan.
Can we talk about this low five phenomena from both Jimmy Butler and Rondo?
Sure, why not? They've had an interesting season. They got to keep it up. You know, they got to keep it interesting. Why not keep it interesting on the free throw line and troll everybody? Yeah, they've been doing it, you know, consecutively over the course of the season. But someone kind of found out, like through the just seeing it repetitively,
yeah,
and posted it on on Reddit and everything, and it's hilarious.
So they low five their opponents.
they're trying to reach for high fives.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And usually when they shoot a hot free throw, they try to grab everyone.
Yeah.
So, like, Rondo and Butler are trying to grab them, too. So
don't make this weird.
Yeah. So, like, the last picture I showed you, it's like Jimmy Butler's just standing there.
Yeah.
And Marcus Morris has no part in that. So he walks away. Here's a serious lighter news. It's lighter news and it's serious. But apparently, so I don't know where it fits.
I don't know. This is the gray zone of our lighter news.
It's in the RTP purgatory. Master P wants to be an assistant coach.
I think he could be an assistant coach. He was a really, really good basketball player.
Define really, really good.
I thought he like actually
played in college. Maybe.
Yeah, he played in college.
Like LSU.
I don't know where he played.
Like
I just
LA City College or something like that.
I know that he played,
but he plays in summer leagues and stuff in the
Celebrity All Star Game,
the Drew League in LA every summer and stuff.
But I mean, he's got so much money, he could probably just coach, be an assistant coach without getting paid. Like it doesn't really matter.
Well, then it matters because then it is a trickle down effect. We got a celebrity now as an assistant coach. Now people go must see coach TV. Then you're going to get Drake on the sidelines. Now you're going to get fucking, you know.
The
Schremmen brothers.
I love Drake, but.
Right. Let's not wreck everything.
Make him say,
Let's not wreck everything. All right. So going into next week in basketball. So our RTP game next week is I have Cleveland versus Boston on the 5th. And that should be a really, really good one. So that's going to potentially swing the first and second.
Yeah.
So that will be fun. Other games of note next week. Washington versus Golden State on 4-2. I have Portland versus Utah on 4-4, which should be interesting. Milwaukee versus Indy on 4-6, which has playoff contentions. And Boston versus Atlanta. I hope Boston absolutely destroys them on 4-6. Worst games, and these are some doozies for this next week. Brooklyn versus Philly on 4-4. Dallas versus Sacramento on 4-4. San Antonio takes on the Lakers on 4-5, which Don't want to really watch that one. Golden State versus Phoenix on 4-5. This is just crush them and destroy them all on one evening so you can witness everything. And Brooklyn versus Orlando on 4-6.
There's so many games in the NBA as they wrap up the NBA. Do not watch these fucking games.
Do not. This is do not watch TV.
Stay away.
Must miss.
And the obscure game, so as we get into the playoffs, I'm amping up my foreign league this week, and I'm going to Hiba A1 in Greece.
Of course.
And Panathinaikos versus Olympiakos. That's who I'm going with. I have no idea if I pronounced that even close, but errors and omissions, we'll catch that next week. All right, so that is going to wrap episode 34, Riding the Pine. I am Hondo here with Guy and back with K Dizzle this week. Guy, take it out.
So Golden State played Houston twice last week. We noted it on the Riding the Pine game of the week. Well, there was an incident that happened in this game. James Harden has kind of known for his, like, crafty, I would say crafty, but I can't use another way to describe it. It's unorthodox maneuvers in games, and he sometimes sits on people. He sometimes, like, lays on people. He sometimes flops on people, right? He's now pinching people, like players in the NBA on the team. He pinched Draymond Green. Draymond Green responds in this post game. He pinched me, so I punched his wrist.
This has been a Bencast Studios production.